In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Exodus chapter 13, after the Lord delivered his people on the night of the Passover, Moses told the people of Israel, "When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us up out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt.' Every firstborn belonged to the Lord, a reminder that the Lord delivers." Moses spoke these words with the authority of divine law. "Thus says the Lord, every firstborn is mine." Every firstborn would be sacrificed to the Lord, put in service to do the Lord's work. The firstborn could serve the Lord in his temple as a son serves in the house of his father. Indeed, they were the Lord's sons. They belonged to him. If the Lord pressed all of them into his service, the temple would be full of firstborn sons. So the Lord graciously allows that the firstborn could be redeemed, bought back. The parents would be able to buy back the firstborn sons by means of a sacrifice. That sacrifice was specified in the law of Moses. Most of the parents in Israel would buy back their firstborn son so that he would live as part of the family. Some parents did not redeem their firstborn. For example, Hannah had prayed for a child from the Lord. Hannah's husband, Elkanah, had two wives. The other wife had children, many children, but Hannah had none. So Hannah prayed to the Lord. She was in the temple at Shiloh, mouthing the words from her heart, but no sound came out. The priest Eli saw her and thought she was drunk. Yet Hannah's prayer was faithful. "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." The son is Samuel, named so because she had asked for him from the Lord. The Lord hears and answers and grants the gift. So now, as long as Samuel lives, he is lent to the Lord. Samuel will serve in the temple and grow to be a faithful prophet to the Lord. Samuel's service to the Lord was faithful. Samuel served Israel at a difficult time. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. God called out to Samuel at night, and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. Samuel is set aside wholly to the Lord to do the Lord's work. Eventually, Samuel will anoint kings. He even anoints David with oil in the midst of his brothers. As Samuel serves, he does what the Lord instructs him to do. The Lord gave instructions to Samuel, "Go to Jesse's house, and there's David, and anoint him, for this is he." So Samuel served and anointed David according to the word of the Lord. Jesus puts himself under the law of Moses. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. The child Jesus, born of woman, is brought to the temple. Mary is there for her purification, as the purification of mothers was set to be 40 days after giving birth to a son. Mary and Joseph go to the temple to adhere to the law of Moses. The parents bring this child according to the law of the Lord. Jesus goes to the temple as the firstborn, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Jesus is set aside, called holy to the Lord. As Jesus' parents bring him to the temple, they recall that the Lord delivered his people out of slavery by a mighty hand. The Lord brought his people up out of slavery. Back when Israel was enslaved in Egypt, the people feared that slavery. The people were miserable under slavery. The commands, the tasks, they were all harsh to the people, so they cried out to the Lord, Lord, this slavery is just too much for us to bear. God heard their groaning. God remembered their covenant. God acted to bring his firstborn, Israel, out of slavery so that they would serve him. Samuel's service in the temple, assisting the priest, and then as prophet, are his service to the Lord. Samuel is lent to the Lord. His life belongs to the Lord. Samuel, by this service, looks ahead to Jesus, as Jesus too lives in service to the Lord. Jesus serves as priest. He is the priest of God, the high priest. Jesus prepares the sacrifice. Certainly Jesus is that sacrifice that comes into the temple as Mary and Joseph bring a sacrifice for purification and presentation. They bring in a pair of turtle doves, a sacrifice that is allowed to the poor. Mary and Joseph and Jesus come from a house of poverty. Yet along with that pair of turtle doves as a sacrifice, they bring the sacrifice to the temple, Jesus. Jesus serves both as priest and as the sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is salvation, salvation for all people. Jesus is that light that reveals salvation to the Gentiles. Jesus is for the glory of the people Israel. Jesus saves Gentiles and Jews alike. What wonderful good news! His father and mother marveled at what is said about him. Now they hear these words of promise that this little child is salvation for all of mankind. Jesus is the firstborn son. In his service as the firstborn son, he buys back, he redeems all of his brothers. The service that Jesus offers as firstborn is a reminder of that great salvation on the night of the Passover. On that night, God's people were slaves, and then God acted. God slayed the firstborn of Egypt, but then he passed over the firstborn of Israel. The blood that was on the doorpost, that blood was the sign. And when the angel of death saw that blood, he passed over, he spared the lives of Israel's firstborn. Thus they were free. They were free to serve God on his mountain. So it is with Christ and how he delivers all of his brothers from slavery. Jesus' service as firstborn is to free his brothers from slavery to sin, slavery to death. How we groan and we cry out about this slavery that we are stuck in. We are enslaved to sin and to death. We cry out to God, we groan, oh Lord, these sins are weighing us down. We know the law of the Lord and we have not done it. These sins burden our conscience, for we know what we have done. We know the punishment that our sins deserve. In this slavery, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Those sins enslave us, and even more, the consequence of our sin enslaves us. The wages of sin is death, and death is a fearful thing. When a plane falls out of the sky on video, everyone gets really afraid of death really quickly. And the spiritual Pharaoh, the devil, keeps us afraid of death our entire life. You deserve death. You can't escape it. The devil makes us afraid. He keeps telling us those things to make us afraid and fear death. Who would free us from this fear and this slavery? The blood of the lamb rescues from slavery to Pharaoh. The blood of the firstborn son, Jesus, rescues us from this slavery. Jesus is set aside as holy to the Lord that by his service, through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. The Lord delivers his people on the night of the Passover, so they are no longer slaves to Pharaoh, but now they serve the Lord. The firstborn son, Jesus, on Good Friday, delivers all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery, so now they are in service to the Lord. Jesus helps the offspring of Abraham. Jesus becomes like them. He becomes like us, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. As Jesus makes propitiation for the sins of the people, propitiation where that sin is covered, where blood covers that sin, the punishment for that sin is turned aside. The sacrifice carries the sin. Jesus carries that sin. The punishment is the blood, and that punishment, the blood is shed to be that punishment. Jesus bears that punishment for you. Jesus makes propitiation for your sins, so you are delivered from death. As Israel walks out of captivity to Pharaoh, so you will walk out of captivity to death to eternal life with God. As Christ is brought to the temple, set aside for service to God, called holy to the Lord, so also with those with whom Christ has become like. Christ has become like you. Therefore, you are set aside. You are holy to the Lord. Your life is a life of service to God. And our service to God brings us into the Lord's presence. The Lord is with us with his holy supper. The Lord provides a feast, the Lamb, who was slain for the sins of the world. We come into the Lord's presence and we eat and drink to receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as we leave the table, we sing the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon. We sing along with him, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. So as we leave the table, we are ready to die. Death is nothing to be afraid of, for our Lord has saved us from the fear of death. And our Lord will bring us into his presence to serve him eternally in heaven. How wonderful it would be to serve the Lord there. The psalmist exudes wonder at the certainty of our service with God in heaven. As he says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. We would serve God in his temple with all of the firstborn that the Lord has brought out of slavery, out of that slavery to death, so we would serve him in his house forever. Amen.